Very simply, I'm here for a miracle. Anybody here for a miracle today? Oh, hallelujah. I'm here for a miracle. Lift your hands in the presence of the Lord. Man, His presence is here. Somebody just let your faith continue to soar in this room. Somebody go ahead and begin to speak those things which are not as though they already were. Somebody go ahead and begin to prophesy in the Spirit right now. Prophesy the reality that's going to happen in faith in this room before you leave this house. Somebody speak it. Speak it. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Somebody speak life into this room. Somebody speak life into your situation. I'm here for a miracle, Jesus. I'm here for a miracle, Jesus. I love all y'all, but I didn't show up to see you today. And I believe many of you love me, but I hope you didn't show up to see me today. We came to see and encounter and experience and worship the miracle worker that's in the house. Before you're seated, tell just one person, I'm here for a miracle. Here for a miracle. You may be seated. His friends hadn't invited him that day with the intention of having him join the church. He was not there by some subtle attempt on their part to try and convert him to their way of thinking. He wasn't there so they could talk later about the increase in attendance that his presence had made possible. He was there because he had a very serious problem. The Bible would describe his problem like this in Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. And again, he, speaking of Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one who was sick of the palsy, which was borne or carried by four individuals. And so here we find four individuals who no doubt loved this man enough that they would carry his broken body all the way to the house where Jesus was. And the Bible tells us that he was carried on that cot. The reason why he had to be on that cot was because he was sick of the palsy. Now, when the sickness called palsy is mentioned in Scripture, it is a general term that, depending on the context in which it is spoken of, it could be different diseases and that would differentiate a little bit between one another. It was a kind of a general term, and so that it would encompass different types of physical maladies. For it was quite possible, stay with me now, it was quite possible that this man was suffering from a particular disease, one of which would paralyze him from the neck down. That's why he had to just lay on the bed and be carried by his friends. Another form of this sickness was an individual would be paralyzed just on one side of their body. And yet the most common manifestation of the palsy, and that which this man was quite possibly suffering from, was that which causes the entirety of the muscle mass in a human being to violently and continually contract. This, according to the commentaries that I read, was a very common occurrence in the time and the place in which this story was recorded. And it was a sickness that was feared by many. For when one was attacked by this form of palsy, they were best described as an individual who was being brutally and severely tortured for days by their very own bodies, with death following closely thereafter. So here we see, I had to explain that for a purpose, because we see that this individual that the Bible is referencing here today did not just have a little problem. He was not dealt a hand that he could manage on his own. He was not experiencing that which would soon be over, like the passing of a summer storm. No, it was highly probable that if something didn't happen soon in this man's life, then he was mere days away from death. And I feel impressed of the Holy Ghost this morning that someone came to this house today. Help me, Jesus. And you don't care about our doctrinal statements. And you don't really care what style of song our worship team was going to sing today. You don't really care what the inside of our church looks like, what color the carpet is, and what color the pew chairs are. You weren't real concerned about the social demographics, the socioeconomic status, or the age diversity of those that call this church home. And the reason you didn't care about any of those things is because your life is even right now plagued with a problem. And it's not a small problem. And it's not something that more than likely, given a little time, will just go away. And it's not anything that you can just pretend is not there. It may be a physical problem that modern medicine doesn't have an answer for. It may be an emotional problem that the pills and the psychiatrists only seem to exasperate. It may be a relational problem that's only getting worse, no matter how bad you want it to be resolved. Whatever the problem is, you know what it's like to feel pain. You know what it's like to feel hopeless. You know what it feels like to be constricted, chained, with no hope of freedom, no answers. And you're here today because you need a miracle in your body. You're here today because you need a real change in your life. You're here today because you need an encounter with something that is real. You're here today because you need a genuine touch from a power that is greater than you. I don't care what they see. I don't care what the decor is. I don't care what color paint they picked. I don't care about none of that stuff. I don't care if anybody greets me. I don't care if anybody introduces themselves to me. I don't care about none of that. I got a problem. And I'm here for a miracle. You tried fixing it and you can't. You've tried others fixing it and they can't. So here you are, constrained by the ever increasing and the ever darkening swell of a seemingly unfixable problem. And that is the problem that has brought you to this Sunday morning. You didn't come today to gauge the friendliness of our hospitality team or the preaching ability of the pastor. You don't care. No. You came because you cannot live with that problem one more day, and you're looking for someone who has the power to take it from you. I don't want to keep living like I'm living. I don't want to keep going down the road I'm going. I don't want this darkness to stay with me for the remainder of my life. I can't take it another day. I don't care if the preacher can preach or if he can't preach, if the singers can sing or they can't sing. I need a touch from Almighty God. I need a touch from the Lord today. I need a touch from heaven today. I need a touch. So I realize the message today, in the context and the framework of that which I have just established, may not be for everybody, but there's more than a few in the room and whom it would relate to very specifically. And it is to you that I want to speak the same reality as that which was spoken of in our story, in our text. For again, it says, Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, and again he, Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that Jesus, it's not deep, but Jesus was in the house. I need somebody to know that the one who's greater than cancer is in the house. Woo. The one that's greater than any sickness you walked in here with is in the house. The one that's greater than any addiction you walked in here with is in the house. The one greater than any disease that might be even right now coursing through your blood is in the house right now. The answer to your question is Jesus. So you don't even know what my question is. Doesn't matter. I know what the answer is, and his name is Jesus. But you don't know what I went through. You don't know my story. I don't need to know what you went through. I don't need to know your story. I got your answer, and his name is Jesus, and he's in the house. He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. The light that is more powerful than the darkness that has invaded your soul is even right now in the house. The way out of depression is in the house right now. Your victory over emotional trauma is in the house right now. Your breakthrough from addiction is in the house right now. I've come to preach the healer of broken marriages and broken families and broken homes is in the house right now. The waymaker is in the house right now. Come on, if you believe that, put your hands together. Give him a shout of praise. He's in the house. He's here. He's here right now. He fills this room right now with all power in heaven and in earth. Is in this room manifest in the presence of Almighty God right now. Come on, somebody, let your faith soar for a moment. Somebody, let your faith soar. Doesn't matter who's preaching, Jesus is here. Doesn't matter what we're saying, Jesus is here. Woo! You may be seated now. I realize that there's probably someone in the room who, because of the severity of your problem, or because of the length of time in which you have suffered from your problem, that you have a bit of a doubt in your mind right now when it comes to your problem being resolved in the house today. And you may be wondering why we're able to speak with such confidence when we proclaim that your healer is present, that your deliverer is here. With such confidence, we display that and declare that. And people stood and clapped and rejoiced with faith, believing that it was an absolute reality. And you're sitting there wondering, how in the world can these individuals be so confident in his ability when I'm questioning? I'm the one that's going through it. I'm the one that's had it for such a long time. I'm the one who's been turned away from every doctor. I'm the one that's tried multiple times to be freed from the addiction only to be drawn back in. I'm the one that's there. How can you be so confident in the presence of the Lord, the ability of that Lord that is in this room to fix my problems? I'm just not where you are. It's important that you understand that our faith in God's ability and what we know God can and will do in your life today is based upon what we have seen him do, not just upon that which we hope he will do. I believe this same type of faith and understanding is found in our story as well. For stay with me now. When the Bible tells us that Jesus did this miracle in a house, we need to know that it was not just some random house. For commentaries agree that it was the Apostle Peter's house, that Jesus would stay when he was ministering in and around Capernaum, which is where our story took place. Peter was the only disciple that was married. He was married and had a wife, and the Bible speaks of family there, and so he had this house. When they were anywhere in the area, Jesus would stay there, and so it was at Peter's house that this all happened. It's important for us to know. Now stay with me now. It's important for us to know that this was not the first service that happened at Peter's house. Because sometime prior to the story of these four men bringing their buddy to be healed of the Lord, sometime prior, we don't know, a month, 2 months, a year, we don't know. But sometime prior to that, we read of this story, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, same house, Matthew 8 and 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid. Peter's wife's mother was laid there, sick of a fever. Verse 15. And Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many, somebody shout many, that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word. And he healed all, somebody shout all. He healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And so here we find that these four individuals had brought their broken and their crippled friend to the same house where the Lord had already healed so many people from sicknesses that had invaded their bodies. And they brought their buddy to the same house where the Lord had already delivered so many who were bound by spiritual opposition and oppression. In that same house, many miracles had already happened. In that same house, stay with me, many lives had already been changed. In that same house, many hearts and families had already been restored. My point is this. In the same house where the Lord had already done so many miracles, he was now doing one more. Just one more. Hear me today. The reason why we can say with confidence that the miracle worker can work his work in your life today is because we have seen him perform so many other miracles in this very house. I realize today that your problem is suffocating, but I need you to know that in this very house, in this very room, the Lord has healed countless others with problems that were just as big as the problem that you walked in here with. We have seen tumors disappear in this house. We have seen cancer healed in this house. We have seen broken bodies fixed in this house. We have seen lives changed in this house. We've seen addicts delivered in this house. We've seen relationships restored in this house. We've seen souls saved in this house. I said that to say this. We've seen a God do a bunch in this house. It's not any harder for him to do one more. Come on. If he healed anybody, he can heal you. If he delivered anybody, he can deliver you. If he set anybody free, he can set you free. If he saved anybody, he can save you. We've seen it in this house. Come on, somebody, put your hands together, give him praise. I just stand or sit where you are right now, because you're hearing me say that. I'm just one person voicing an opinion. And so I'm going to open it up. I'm going to open it up so you can see if what I'm detailing that has happened in this room is a reality, or if it is just something I said to try to hype you up. So I'm just gonna simply ask this question. If in some form or fashion you have received a miraculous touch from the Lord in this house, let it be known. That happened in this house. 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 If it happened to you or to them, it can happen to you. Come here, Brett. I told him I'd only call him up if I really felt it. I think he was hoping I didn't feel it. Tell us what Jesus did for you in this house, where it began in this house.
So about 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago, I came to this church looking for a miracle. I was getting Bible studies with Brother Eric. And I was in a very hopeless situation. I was completely bound by addiction. And heroin addiction had completely gripped my life. It consumed every bit of me. It consumed every thought. I had to have it to go throughout the day. I tried several rehabs, in and out of jail, tried so many times to quit, had some clean time, always ended up going back to it. And I was just so sick and tired of the way my life was. And I was just so hopeless and bound. And I was just searching for something. Rehab didn't do it. Nothing else would do it. And I started getting Bible studies with Brother Eric. And he would always tell me about what God can do in my life and about the miracles that he could do. And so I ended up coming with him. And then before that, though, I was here one time. And I thought you guys were all crazy because I had never been to one of these before. So, but I was just so hopeless that I was willing to try anything. And I came here and I remember they were doing the praise singing right here. It wasn't even church yet, and I was just sitting like right here, just bawling. And God, I just never felt the presence of God like that before in my life. And God just, every time I would come here and get in the presence of God, he would just change me. And now I got a great job. I'm living an abundant life, work with the youth, and God has completely changed my life. Amen.
Five years clean. Come on, it wasn't a temporary thing. My Bible says he that the Son has set free is free indeed. He had tried everything else and nothing else worked, but he came to the presence of Almighty God looking for a miracle, and a miracle is what he got. That happened in this house. Oh, somebody shout amen. Amen. You may be seated now. I've done this long enough to know right here, right now, that faith is in the room. I could open up this altar and we're going to see miracles today. I realize I could shut her down right now and go to prayer and God is going to work. But for the last several days, the Lord, this next point, I don't know why, just wouldn't release me from it. So we need to declare and speak what the Lord wants me to say. There's something else about this healing service at Peter's house that I feel the Lord would quickly, and I'm hurrying to a close. Don't check out on me now. There's something else about this healing service at Peter's house, this first miracle healing service. I want us to look at it. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14. And when Jesus came into Peter's house, we read it just a minute ago, but let's look at it again. He saw his wife's mother laden, sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Now watch verse 16. If you just kind of do a cursory read, you miss it. Verse 16. When the even was come. Even is an old English word that just shortened for evening. So when the evening was come. They brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Now I need your minds. I want you to notice by this point, Jesus had come to the house. We don't know how long he had been there, but he had been there long enough to witness the need of this woman, to hear what the problem was, to reach out to her, to heal her, for her to rise. No doubt the joy and the worship and the praise that went forth after her healing. I'm sure Peter and his wife were pretty excited about that. And then the Bible alludes to the fact that she ministered to them, which probably would denote that she got up and this woman that was healed and she cooked a meal and she served them a meal and took care of some of their physical needs as far as a meal would be concerned and rest for their weary bodies. And yet the Bible specifically tells us that it was not until the evening that people started showing up to be healed. Now, you may just think that it took that long before word could get out that Jesus was in the house. But that's not at all the reason. The reason all of these people with terrible problems, with great sicknesses, with diseases, afflictions, oppressiveness, demon-possessed, the reason why they didn't show up until evening was because it was the time of the Sabbath. And their past religious teachings had told them that they could not do anything on the Sabbath, including being healed. It was from sunset to sunset. The book would show us this reality of what I'm talking about in Luke's gospel when it says in Luke chapter 13 and verse 14, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And they, religious leaders, said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed. And not on the Sabbath day. Please notice with me that it was mere religion that was keeping these that were sick home. When the healer was in such close proximity to them, their past religious teachings, their past religious dogma was dictating to them how and when God could work in their lives. They were taught that the Lord could do this, but he can't do that. We got him in a box of when he can do what we want him to do. He can heal 6 days, but he can't heal on the seventh day. He can heal this, but he can't heal that. He can work at this time, but he can't work at that time. This is man ascribing the realities, or what they consider to be the realities, of the one who has the heaven as his throne and the earth as his footstool. Understand, the one who could deliver the oppressed, heal the sick, raise the dead, was but a short walk from them. Their miracle was so close, but their religious upbringing was keeping them from receiving it. I don't know who this is for today, but there's quite possibly somebody in the house, man, I feel the Holy Ghost, who's allowing that which others have taught you about God to keep you from experiencing the fullness of God. Maybe you've been told that miracles have ceased. Maybe you have been told that miracles were only for the Bible days to bring legitimacy to Christ, and therefore through him a legitimacy to the gospel. And now that we have the gospel, we no longer receive the miracles. Maybe you've been told to not trust those churches that talk about the supernatural. Maybe you've been instructed to not listen to anything those crazy tongue talkers have to say. Maybe, just maybe, it's been instilled into you that the focus of God towards you is all about your spiritual needs and not so much about your physical needs. Maybe you've grown up under a teaching that's told you that any church that's loud and boisterous in their services are doing it wrong, and therefore they would have nothing to offer you because they're doing it wrong anyway. Maybe your story is that you've been taught from an early age that there is no God. Or maybe you've been taught that Jesus was real, but that he was just a man like you and I. Maybe you've been raised in some other religious belief altogether that has made no mention of this one by the name of Jesus that I'm talking about today. I don't know who it is, but I just feel like there's somebody in the house whose past religious teachings are keeping you from putting your faith in God's ability to do a miracle in your body. And I want to say very plainly to you today this. Yes, we absolutely believe in the apostolic doctrines, hear me, that are plainly spelled out in this book. But I'm not here today to convert you to another doctrine. And I'm not here today in an attempt to convert you to this church. I'm here today to encourage you to bring your problem to the one that can fix it. It's not about church numbers. It's not about attendance records. It's about the fact that you got a real problem, and there really is somebody that can fix that problem, and his name is Jesus, and I just want you to encounter him. Please, please. Please don't allow religion to keep you from a relationship with the one that can heal your body, change your life. Please do not allow man's philosophies and man's ideas and man's concepts about God to keep you from actually encountering God. Your past indoctrination doesn't have to stop you from your present miracle. Listen, I realize our services may be a bit louder than what you're used to, but don't allow that to keep you from encountering the one who has all power in heaven and in earth. Just because it's different in here doesn't mean the God that is in here doesn't want to touch you and minister to you and help you. Just because it's different, don't let what's different stop you from that which God would desire to do for you. Yes, we talk in tongues around here, just like they did in Scripture, and we're not ashamed of it. But don't allow the potential shock factor of talking in tongues to keep you from having the faith for your miracle. You heard it from his own lips. Brother Brett stood up here a few moments ago and said he thought the first time he came that we were all crazy. But I'm glad he didn't let what it looked like crazy at the start. He only thought we were crazy because he had never experienced it before and because of what his past looked like. Don't let your past dictate your present. On our sign, it plainly states we are Pentecostals. I am unashamedly Pentecostal. But I just feel like it might be possible that somebody in the room at some point in your life have had a voice speak to you negatively about Pentecostals. They're this and they're that and they're in the other. And you've got on YouTube and you've checked us out and the first few pages, you got some bitter people. And so that's all you've seen and that's all you've heard and that's what people have talked to you about. Either those that were bitter, man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Those that were bitter or those that were uninformed or those that were simply parroting that which had been told to them without ever experiencing it for themselves. We are unashamedly Pentecostals. But hear me. I'm not here today to try to make you a Pentecostal. I'm here today to point you to Jesus. Because your problem is too big for us to be playing games with your soul and with your issue. You got real hurts. It would be terrible for us to stand up here and do something just so we could say, we got another Pentecostal in our ranks. When an individual has real hurts and they're really struggling and they're crying themselves to sleep at night and they're shooting up and they can't go a day without shooting up. On. It's not about our attendance. It's not about our record. It's not about us patting ourselves on the back, saying we got another one in the fold. No, it's about Jesus. And it's about us introducing you with all of your hurt and with all of your baggage. And with all of your struggles. And with all of your pain. And we introduce you to somebody that can fix it. Because I can't fix it. And nobody in the room can fix it. If you're coming to me to fix it, you need to go, well, don't go nowhere else because they can't fix it either. But if you're coming to me to fix it, I'm going to fail you and I'm going to let you down. But here's what I can do. That's Jesus right there. And you see what you feel in this room? Come on, this isn't about a denomination. And I'm unashamedly apostolic. And I'm glad to be a part of the organization, and I'm honored to be a part of the organization that I'm a part of, but this isn't about an organization. There were no organizations on the day of Pentecost. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. There is one church. And there was one God that robed himself in flesh to die for that one church. And his name is Jesus. This isn't about an organization. This is about a God that loves humanity enough to fix their very real problem. Stand to your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise in this house. Come on, he knows you're hurting. He knows you're broken. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going through. He brought you here today to fix it.